Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you can pay?
And his partner, Fede Tappender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft, and what an incredible honour it is to speak to you on a wrestling podcast this week for a number of reasons. One, first of all, because I'm joined as ever by probably the most significant British wrestler in the history of British wrestling since Big Daddy and all that, but you know, we all know Big Daddy was a great way to shite. Grado, the man who created the boom in British wrestling, has been by my side through the whole run of Wrestling Daft, and it's always a pleasure to see him. How are you doing, Grado?
It's good, mate. I want to start off, first of all, saying I thoroughly enjoyed the Scots on Monday night. Thought it was funny. Thought everybody was great in it. You and Ian were great. I thought, do you know who I really like? Jester was brilliant, very natural. I loved it. What'd you call him? The guy I worked with in Scott is blind. What's his name?
Jamie McDonald.
He's hilarious. And also the boy with the blonde hair, the lumber. I can't remember his name because he's got a daft Twitter name. What is his Twitter name again?
You'll find him on Twitter under the name Cool Jinzo.
He makes me laugh on Twitter,
You might know him as Romeo Taylor. You might know him as the Sausage. You might know him as the Smoking Baby. You might know him as, you know, he's got so many different...
His facials were making me laugh, man.
His name's Taylor Stewart, though. Taylor Stewart's his real name, but he's got a lot of gimmick names.
That's it, Taylor, that's it. I know it. But anyway, I've only watched the one because I fell asleep. No, but listen, I fell asleep during the event. I'll tell you for a while, we'll get on to the EW pay-per-view and all that. I fell asleep about 3 or 4 times, and that's no me saying that it was rubbish. It was brilliant. I loved the pay-per-view.
That, Grado, is the second reason why it's so great. It's such an honour to be talking on a wrestling podcast just now. It's also because I believe, stand here as the dust is settling on what I believe is the best pay-per-view in over a decade, the best wrestling pay-per-view in over a decade. And we'll talk much more about that later. John, did you watch the AEW show?
I did.
Did you pay for it, John? Here's an interesting point. Did you pay for it?
I did not.
What?
I did not, because I don't have Fight TV on my TV. So I did not pay for it.
So how did you see it?
I found a link.
Your mate came round with a tape. Just
mate,
say that.
Grado, do you pay for it?
Of course I did, mate. Aye.
Right.
Okay,
let's say this. Let's try and ignore the fact that the producer of Wrestling Daft did not fucking pirated the pay-per-view. And
mate, you
Tony
don't see
Khan,
the warning? The warning at the start, mate? 250K FBI come here, though.
Oh, no.
Tony Khan, I just want to apologise, but hopefully you'll like the fact that 2/3 of the Wrestling Daft podcast paid for the pay-per-view, and I know a lot of people, Grado, who paid for that pay-per-view.
Well, mate, they got 40 bar off me and you, so we've lined Tony Khan with 40 bar. Well deserved. I thought the £20 was well worth it. But it was too long, man.
I disagree.
I thought it was too long, mate. I started watching it at 1 o'clock and I didn't finish it till about the back of 8 at night. And I kept falling asleep.
It wasn't that long. It wasn't 7 hours long.
No, can I give you my opinions about the show? What I loved about it.
Let's do it later. No, we need to do it later.
Okay,
let's see what the punters have been saying about other stuff other than the greatest pay per view in over a decade. Thomas got in touch, says, all right, lad, what's your thoughts on fans saying WWE's finished yet they're more profitable than they were during the Attitude Era? Is the only person that's wrestling that's in wrestling, is the only person in wrestling, is the, sorry, I've been drinking, is the only person in wrestling that's not a mark, Vince? He's playing everybody like a cheap fiddle. Right, Thomas, I'm going to answer that. We all know that the WWE is making more money now than they did in the Attitude Era, right? We know that the WWE are doing beautifully well, making loads of money, doing nothing. But that is not what we, as wrestling fans on a wrestling podcast, care about. What we care about is what we enjoy, and also what we care about is what we perceive, because believe you me, in 10 years' time, 20 years' time, when we look back on this era of wrestling, and that's what wrestling fans like today, they like to look back on the past of wrestling, they like to look back on history. When we look back on this period in 10, 20 years' time, nobody's going to be talking about the WWE. This period of time just now, the narrative, the fucking story, the buzz is all about AEW. Do you think we're going to be looking in 20 years' time, we're going to be looking back and going, do you remember that time Alexa Bliss challenged Charlotte for the Raw Women's title? Fucking not a chance. Are we going to be looking back and are we going to say, do you remember that night everybody was expecting Daniel Bryan to come out and fucking Adam Cole came out with his wee skinny arms flapping, and then he came out and Tony Khan went, this wee guy's got to be a fucking heel, and made him a fucking heel, and then Daniel Bryan came out. That's what we're going to be reminiscing on. Wrestling's all about perception. It's all about money. It's never just been about money, the bottom line. It's been about perception and legacy and making history. That's what I'm talking about, Thomas.
Well, see, Rab, I'll tell you what, but there's been a quick shift in the last couple of weeks, by the way, and it's no showing any signs that it's stopping, because it's actually quite mind-blowing. Right, see, at the start of AEW, and there was a couple of jumps, right, you had, who did we have at the start?
Jericho,
right, and then you had your Bullet Club and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. Luke and whatever, right, that's by the by. But how quickly this tide is turning, because they're running out of, I'm telling you, it's the amount of talent WWE are losing, right? You've got Adam Cole the other night, you've got Bryan Danielson, right? Bray Wyatt, he's going to end up there, isn't he? Right? There's talk now that Kevin Owens' contract's going to be up soon. He's going to do the jump.
Kevin Owens is the perfect fit for AEW.
Mate, bang on, mate. And he's got to be a cert. How quickly, that even a couple of months ago, I wouldn't have considered, know that they need to challenge them, but it's just now, you're right, mate, AEW is I could watch that, nay bother, absolutely nay bother. It's cool. It's what I love most about wrestling is getting surprised, right?
Yep.
See the other night when I carried on with Bryan Danielson and Adam Cole, I was jumping out of my bedroom and all that. Yeah. Stephanie was texting me going, what are you doing up there? And I'm going, the wrestling's brilliant. You might hate Ken. And I'm trying. She doesn't give a fuck, Ken. And this guy had him called, right? He was in WWE, right? And maybe something happens. This guy did his contract and he turned up and all of that, right? This other guy turned up. Ken, okay? And that's going to keep. Look, there he is. Look, there I'm seeing that guy. There's me with him in 2014. That's me and him there. Well, that's him in the telly, right? And he was in WWE, right? And now that's his name. She's all right, cool. But, mate, it was cool, mate. It was cool. The punk stuff. It's like wrestlers now, man. Fuck, that's the place to be, man.
Well, this is the thing. When AEW launched, right? When it launched, and when they had, you know, the first pay-per-view, right? Even before AEW launched as a thing, and they had that first pay-per-view, right? And it was cool at that time because it was an alternative, because it was a new thing. That was what made it cool, kind of. It was like, oh, these guys are doing this themselves. Who's this Tony Khan guy? What is this? It's a new thing, so it was cool because of that. The big question for a wrestling company, for a wrestling promotion, when they appear out of the blue like that, is can they convert the cool of being just the new thing, the new toy, the alternative to WWE, can they convert that cool into a genuine coolness, into a genuine coolness that's there because of the fucking content, because of what they do, because of what they've done, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what they've done. And it took them a bit of time to get there. They were cool, and then they had a bit of a lull, I think. They had a bit of a lull, but no.
It was a pandemic, all up.
Pandemic and all. They have hit their stride. and they just feel it's cool in a different way. Now it's cool because you're like, it's almost like a new feeling to me, or it feels like a new. It's been so long since I felt it. I'm like looking forward to a wrestling show. I'm looking forward to Dynamite.
And there's no that, you know how at the start you're going, God Christ, this guy's putting in a hell of a lot of money for these big wrestlers, right? You're thinking to yourself, right, 100,000 buys all day, everybody paying a score each. That's $2 million in change, right? Thinking the merch they're going to sell, I bet you every single punter in that crowd the other day bought at least a t-shirt, bought at least something. And then the amount of folk buying their t-shirts online, and then they're back again, probably sold out whatever the fuck they are on Wednesday. They're going to be making money soon. And their ratings are good. It just feels now, it's cool now.
I'm just very curious as well. And the minute they're cool, you will get, you know, you will get guys at WWE. Obviously, you get a Kevin Owens, his contract's kind of running out, and you think, well, he's definitely going to go. But there must be, this is the thing that the WWE don't want, which is new talent coming up, suddenly going, maybe I don't want to go to the WWE Performance Center. Maybe I don't want to fucking go to NXT. Maybe I want to go to AEW. Maybe that's where I want to go now. I think if I'm a young wrestler coming up and I'm doing well on the indies and all that, am I wanting to go to NXT? Am I fuck? Am I wanting to go any Raw even? Fucking no. And it might sound crazy to say that, but me speaking personally, if I was a wrestler now, I'd be like, fuck the WWE, man. I don't like being a fucking WWE. You know what I mean? It's a joke, the new. It's kind of a joke. Anyway, back to the punters.
It's good butt in it.
Steven says, what's the chances John can get Cult of Personality played on Bowie at Breakfast at some point? Come on, John.
Do you know what? It got played last week. It's a wee Easter egg in Bowie at Breakfast. If you listen, every Wednesday we play a game called the Bus, right? Which is a
great breakfast show, by the way.
It's a very good breakfast show.
Right.
Right,
so I press the buttons that go, anybody want a song, just tweet me and I'll play a wrestling song for yous.
This is the battle of the breakfast shows. Now, Gradle works on Go Radio, I work on a rival radio station called Clyde One. And yeah, I played Cult of Personality as the winning song for our little game Stop the Bus, and then today I played Brock Lesnar's theme. Nobody knows what the hell it is. It's just a little victory song. So the Brock Lesnar's theme got played on Bowie at Breakfast today. Little Easter egg in there for the wrestling fans.
Beard the Bruno sent in a nice picture of Adam Cole sitting in Stuart Little's motor, which is just makes me laugh, because obviously I've been slagging off Adam Cole for ages about him being in NXT and being too tiny and all that. Listen, but this is the thing about booking.
He looks good, doesn't he now? Hold on.
This is the thing about booking and using somebody, right? I've always said all along, Adam Cole can wrestle, right? I'm just saying, don't push him up to the top as main event and sell him as this, like, you know, big fucking dude that can kick everybody's ass. Stick him as a heel in AEW along with the fucking Elite, and it works. That's right. You know what I mean? And suddenly we can fucking enjoy. We can enjoy what he's being sold as. This is what it's all about. How you package somebody?
Because he already kind of has. Eh? What?
His theme tune's a banger.
I've been listening to that. But yeah, bang on, mate. Because even right away, like, although they done Cole right away, they never really spent much time in, like, what will this guy be doing in AEW? It was a matter of that, right? He's coming in and he's going to be muckled up with Elite. Like, he's no, it was just done, if you know what I mean. That's where he's going to be. They never even gave him time to, like, go, right, what am I going to do? That's if he's got his place, he's going to be a hanger on.
Yeah, and it's...
Which is not a bad thing.
No, because you're, I mean, you know, we'll talk about all this later, right?
I know, man.
But, what the fuck? But you know, you use a guy right and use people to their strengths, and, you know, and that's what they do so well at AEW. Jamie says he's taking the kids to see WWE at the Hydro in a couple of weeks. I would quite like to go with that.
It's like in a fortnight.
Is it sold out?
No, I don't think it is. 20th September. I've got a ticket for it, but I don't know. It's SmackDown, so Big Roman will be there, so I'm quite looking forward to that.
I might go and catch COVID or something. Get Grado a one-night deal, says Jamie. This is Drew McIntyre, or pairing with each other. Kids wouldn't be the only ones, Martin, at some pop. Hopefully persuade Grado to get back to ICW. Any comments, Cradle?
Well, I know that the two guys running the loop are two of my mates, so I'm going to be meeting them anyway to get a wee drink. I don't know if I'm going to go to the show, but I'll see. I kind of see that happening.
who you mean, Grado? Who you mean, the Abyss?
I don't want to say in case I listen to the show and they say, did you fucking see I was in charge and I thought next time?
Right.
Off the back of DJ Solanke, the Arsenal DJ who plays wrestling teams, who was on the show, and thanks so much, my man, for coming on. We asked what theme should your team run it to. Stevie says Hornswoggle's theme for Celtic of Paradise because he's a leprechaun, Irish thing. Very good. Well done, Stevie. Ian says the British Bulldogs theme, Royal Britannia at Ibrox Stadium, would go down a treat. I'm sure it would.
We've definitely done something like this before.
You think so? Giza Gobble the Gooker says Manchester City should come out to the Million Dollar Man's theme. Rangers should come out to Undertaker's American Badass theme because that's the one he used when he came back to the dead. Bronchello has flagged up a new interactive movie that's coming to Netflix, and I wanted to talk about this as well. It's in October, and it sees the Undertaker setting a trap for the New Day at his mansion, and viewers get to decide their fate. I mean, I am really looking forward to this. So it's a Netflix interactive movie.
What's an interactive movie?
Starring the Undertaker and the New Day. Basically, you watch it, Grado, and then it points at it, it will stop, and you can decide what happens next.
Oh, that's what is that for the Reigns, I think. Is that for the Reigns?
It's for me, Grado.
I know you would have been to all that, Kieran, and I can tell you. Will we press? What should we press? Will we go left? Will we go right? Move on. What will we press?
Yeah, that's all my favourite stuff you're talking about, man.
Duck!
Here, strap yourselves in, right? Because Roscoe's got a point to make on AEW, right?
Oh, that's a big bit here, mate.
No, this is a big load of text.
You're going to need the voice, Grab. You're going to need the voice.
Give us...
Okay, so here's Roscoe,
give
right?
Give us like your kind of university, kind of, I like that when you do that.
Here's Roscoe talking about AEW, right? So, signing Jericho raised an eyebrow and was the first indication that the AEW were serious, as, you know, Chris Jericho had previously stated he'd be a Vince man for life. Nothing then really grabbed my interest until Punk and then Danielson. These are two massive statements of intent, and they are 100% competition for Vince. But there are real challenges ahead. One, Punk and Danielson are in their 40s, and most of the big names have signed are the same or even older. Omega is in his late 30s. Even Moxley, Rhodes, Miro, and Nick Jackson are 35 plus. How much mileage is there in Punk, BD, Christian, etc., and pushing 40 plus stars? Is that not what Vince gets criticized for? And my concern number two, as they have a roster full of bona fide stars, 88 men and 23 women, but only 4 hours of TV and 4 pay-per-views per year. How will they all get the opportunities they crave? They have 111 talents with more big names on the way, and WWE lists 206 with at least 27 of them non-wrestling. So really 179 over 7 hours across 4 brands. Sooner or later, there's going to be frustration at lack of opportunity. My concern number three is this. Greater creative input. Sounds fantastic, but in reality, if you give everyone greater creative input, then nobody truly has meaningful creative input unless you genuinely have 111 pro wrestlers who are doing it for the sport, not for themselves. If it's the latter, then the biggest names will run the show. Creative input should be reserved for character development only. Otherwise, it could descend into chaos, a la WCW. My concern number four. Wage bill. It would be naive to think that these big names left WWE or turned it down for tuppence. Vince can afford to pay high 6- and 7-figure wages because of
fucking hell, man. Roscoe Voldem in here, man.
$1 billion deals, enormous global merchandise sales, 12 PPV per annum, and network subscriptions outside USA. AEW won't have any of these deals until it starts to regularly get WWE level viewing figures and has 8 fewer PPVs. How long can the cans realistically take the hit in the absence of these revenue streams? The biggest thing AEW has going for it just now is that WWE, Raw in particular, is shite. I hope it stimulates another boom in wrestling which elevates all content, but I fear it's creating its own problems, and Vince is happy to wait that out. Well, I was interested in Roscoe, but I think just I would say just a whatever.
Aye, mate.
Neil says, off the back of watching the Scots, this month's pun-in should be using wrestlers' names as insults. I'll kick it off with Mick Toley. So let's get it set for next week. Wrestling insults, swear words.
Swear words.
Is this guy suggesting that all the Scots is just people insulting each other all the time? Could be true. And if you want to get in touch, and remember, you can watch the Scots, by the way, on BBC iPlayer just now. The whole season.
Nicky Bellend.
Yes!
There we go. That's a belter. Nicky Bellend's a belter. The Whole of the Scots is on iPlayer just now. The whole series, you can watch it. Search The Scots with two T's. Scots with two T's on iPlayer to watch it. And if you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling-related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email us at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com.
Mr. Cocko.
Prick McManus.
All right.
Prick McManus. Good.
Munter Hurst Helmsley.
Every week we like to separate the bad for the good in wrestling, the any other pay-per-views this year from the all-outs. Uh-huh. Right, guys. Let's talk about what we want to put over and what we want to bury. I want to put over AEW All Out 2021, which I believe is the best pay-per-view in over a decade, lads. I thought it was brilliantly booked. I thought it was full of bangers. I thought it was exciting. I thought it sent the fans home thrilled and excited for the future. Gredo, I know you fell asleep a couple of times. What were your thoughts?
Right. Love the pay-per-view. I thought Eddie Kingston and Miro was tremendous.
Let's start there.
I love
that.
Because
that was my favourite match of the night.
That was my favourite match of the night.
Really?
Absolutely. I loved it.
Yep, I loved
the two big guys going at each other. I loved Eddie being able to pull out all his All Japan pro wrestling stuff. His screams and his chops and all that. I just loved it. And listen, that crowd was so behind Eddie, man. You know, and at a point you thought he'd won it.
Mm-hmm. No, fuck it, one another. I loved it. Sometimes
what an opener. But again, brilliant booting. What an opener, Gredo.
Know
what I mean?
It was, but do you know what? Do you know what was annoying? But that match being second. They were too similar.
What, Moxley's match?
I'm going to get it.
But
I don't know. It just was a bit.
I get that, Gredo. A wee bit.
But it's no. I mean, there's other wee daft things that annoyed me during that show as well. Like the two count outs that annoyed me. I couldn't get over that. That nobody, like none of the what do you call it, the producers, like went and said, "Oh, we're doing that." Do you know what I mean? You see Jericho coming out and running in at the nine, and then Darby Allin did the same thing.
Yeah.
You could have done that. You thought we'd go after that backstage at fucking Larbert Town Hall. It just surprised me, but there's nothing wrong with it. It just one of them, but just it buried it when Darby Allin did it because Jericho
really
did it.
We're really, you know, we're really being.
No, listen. That's very picky, right? No, I'm only. I'm. It didn't annoy me. I'm just saying I was surprised that it happened. I was surprised that they let that happen. Right. Well, I'm just going to get other wee bits and bobs that I didn't like as well. I didn't like Jericho's entrance. The guy playing the guitar. He's gone too fast. And Suzuki turning up was brilliant. That was superb.
That was amazing.
I didn't like the tag team match in the cage.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No, I didn't like it.
Because I've said before, right? I've said now, how many times, John, have I said that I'm just not sure about them? You know what I mean?
I'm not into it, mate.
Cage match or tag match or
the kind of matches. I love
just the Bucks in general. I've said to you before, like I don't see it. When people say they're the best tag team in the world, do you know what I mean? And sometimes I'm just kind of like, I don't see it.
Right, see what
I fucking loved that match, man.
Did you really?
See, towards the end of that match, I was out my chair, man. I thought it was an amazing match. And I just thought it was great, man. I just thought it was one of the matches where you just can't argue. You kind of go, you know, you kind of say, I'm just surprised you didn't like
it. No, well, I'm just saying that I didn't enjoy it. It's just not my scene. I mean, it's fucking spectacular, the stuff that they do, but I don't get it.
Ray Phoenix is unbelievable. He has to be up there as one of the
Who's
best.
That?
Agreed, right, Ray agreed.
Phoenix. Oh, the both of them are fucking minted.
A Pentagon as well.
I agree with you there, John, but for me, it was the Bucks who were amazing in that match.
Yeah.
I thought they were just spectacular in that match, and I thought... And it's also that thing where you're like, these guys are brilliant heels, man. You know what I mean? They came in really annoying heels. You want to get beaten all through that match. You're like, look at these fucking bastards, man. You know what I mean? Like, you they were so great playing heels in that high impact match. And it's difficult to be a heel in a match when you're doing all that cool shit they're doing. You know what I mean? But they still pulled it off really well. And it was one of the moments where I thought to myself, I can see it now. I get it now. You know what I mean? Because I've always just been a wee bit hot and cold on them. But I thought when it came to the bit, they put Penta and Ray Phoenix, who are beautifully in the moment at the end with the Wayans and stuff like that, Penta covered in blood.
Getting his rain covered in blood.
Oh, man, it was just brilliant, man. It was brilliant, I thought. You know,
I mean? It's just not my thing. It's spectacular to watch, but
it's not my kind of match.
Too long.
It's not my kind of match either. However, you know, and I did say that my favourite match of the night was the Miro and Eddie Kingston one. I'm a big fucking mark for the two anyway, though, you know what I mean? But and it was
Punk
something
and
even
Darby, like, Allin was brilliant.
Punk and Darby, I mean, fuck, there's so much to talk about here. Mm. Punk and Darby Allin was just a tremendous wrestling match, and it was kind of not what I expected either. It was a beautiful, slow build and all of that, and made Darby Allin look like a fucking $1 million and all.
Do you think Darby Allin carried Punk a wee bit in it?
No, not at all.
Nah.
Not at all. Not at all. What you saw there was a fucking veteran pro in there, taking his time, pacing it, working with a young guy. But see the turning point of the match when Darby Allin went for the coffin drop and he did the fucking sit up.
That was class.
From that point on, you were just like, there's fucking CM Punk.
At that point, you were like,
here we fucking go. And the timing of that setup was unbelievable.
And it also told the story that he has been at the ring for 7 years. Mm-hmm. They didn't go in and start knocking fuck out one another and doing a hockey punch fight, which they done in, I don't know if they done it in a tag match or they done it in, I can't remember where they done it, with the punching folk back and forth. But I thought it was a perfectly paced match, man. Brilliant. And I love these tights. Oh, his tights were I love them. Oh, Christ. Like the colours, Phil. Like the colours.
It says something about CM Punk as well, about what we all know about the guy, which is how creative he is and how much he thinks about wrestling and how much he thinks about the storytelling in wrestling. That in all the fucking interviews he was doing before this match, he was saying, I don't want to take that coffin drop. I don't want to take it. I don't want to take it. You know what I mean? And you didn't even think to yourself that this is a storytelling party or anything like that. You were just thinking, that's a guy going, oh, that looks like it's going to be sore to take that, you know what I mean? And kind of joking about it. And then when it came to that point in the match where he's just like, he's this old pro getting back up to speed and he's kind of hanging, he's doing the wee Bret Hart nods and all of that kind of stuff, you know, at the start of the match when he was doing the wee facial reaction and stuff. Beautiful storytelling, slow paced. Getting his pace up, gets up to the coffin drop part of the match, and then just that kind of that set up, and then suddenly you were like, oh man, here we fucking go. You know what I mean? And Sting coming in for the pawn shake. No, it was fucking great, man.
It was beautiful, wasn't it? It was beautiful.
Absolutely brilliant.
Maybe that was my favourite match. Do you know what? It's just because of that opener and how the crowd were at the opening, and it just set the tone for the show, didn't it?
With all the expectations, here's the amazing thing about the Miro and Eddie Kingston match. All the expectations about this pay-per-view, everybody's watching it for Punk, right? Really. Casuals are tuning in to see Punk. Punk is what they were selling it on, right? I mean, that's just a fact, right? But also, there were other matches on it that had been built up well, a lot of storytelling behind it and all that. That wasn't the case with the Miro and Eddie Kingston one. It was flung together quite quickly over the space of a couple of weeks. But regardless of that, the guys managed to cut a couple of promos on each other, a wee bit of business. Managed to sell the match, get in the ring and had an absolute fucking barnstormer that the crowd were completely into, and just that kicked the whole night off in a beautiful way, you know what I mean? It's tough today. It's difficult to do that. Right.
Hey man, I'm fed up talking about wrestling now, man. Right, I was just been going.
Sorry, moving on. Let's see what the punters are saying. David wants to put over Tony Khan. There's only one Tony Khan. And he wants to put over AEW for making me fall back in love. We're wrestling again. Cameron wants to put our Lucha Brothers versus Young Bucks. Best match I've seen in years. Pop so much at the end, I must have been like Rab when they referenced the four pillars of heaven during the Miro and Eddie Kingston match. Absolutely. That was one for us. That was a match for me. Finally, after watching fucking wrestling for the past 10 years, they put out a match that was for a guy like me. That was for me, that match. You know what I mean? That's the other thing. You know, you're saying there, Grado, that the Young Bucks, that style of match, no for you, right?
Aye.
But there was matches that were for you on the curb.
Oh, 100%.
And this is the fucking difference.
Variety.
If you watch a Variety, exactly. You watch WWE, the whole fucking show might not be for you. You know what I mean? Whereas if you watch AEW, you kind of go, suddenly I'm a guy who's into fucking Kenta Kobashi and all that, and it opens up, and I'm basically seeing Eddie Kingston fucking channeling Kenta Kobashi and all that. Aye. I'm like, this is for me. This is what I'm wanting. CM Jake says, easy one this week, put over All Out. Probably the best North American pay-per-view I've seen in the last 20 years. Lucha Brothers versus Young Bucks might be the best match I've ever seen. Chris wants to put over DJ Solanke. Very interesting guest. Good interview. Seemed like a great bloke. Was a great bloke. And wants to bury CM Punk for no trying to kiss Darby Allin. Would have been nice, to be honest. We'd be happy to fuck off all talk of WWE. It's 89% dog shit. Cancelled my network subscription. Signed up to AEW and fighting Steed. As cruel as it sounds, only thing I can say about WWE now is Vince dying. That's a bit much. Let me tell you this, and this is what I think nobody is predicting properly. See, when Vince goes, God forbid the day Vince ever does actually die, the WWE's done. Everybody's talking like, the WWE's going to be so much better after Vince goes. Mark my fucking words. Cut this snippet out if you want to and play it back to me in 20 years' time if I'm wrong. The WWE's done when Vince is away. Vince is the WWE. So when he's away, don't expect that something magical is going to happen. It's done when he's gone. That's why I think there might be truth in the rumours that Vince is wanting to sell up or whatever, you know what I mean? Because I think probably within the family they know you don't have this fucking Energizer Bunny behind all this. It's fucking game over.
Tony Khan should buy it off him.
Oh, Paul wants to put our great shows all weekend. SmackDown teasing Demon Balor, GCW War Games, then AEW pay-per-view. Great time.
I saw the clips of Matt Cardona and what'd you call him, Moxley stuff. Oh, that was good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great time to be a wrestling fan. At my first show in 19 months this Sunday, buzzing to be back at the Asylum for ICW. And he wants to bury Nick Khan joking to BT Sport about making Raw a 4-hour show. Joke's on him. Nobody's watching. Pablo's Vault of Horror wants to put over Trevor Murdoch and his NWA World title victory and how gracious and complimentary he's been about former champ Nick Aldis in interviews. And wants to bury WWE's continued downward spiral further down into the cesspit that is sports entertainment. Pablo wants to put over the return of live wrestling in Glasgow, ICW last week, WWE at the end of the month. Maybe a Grado's family wrestling bash for the Wayne soon. Grado, any chance of a wrestling bash anytime soon?
I was talking to the Pavilion today, so we're going to get something arranged pretty soon. So that's good that somebody's, that's kind of gave me a wee bit of buzz then, actually. Aye, I want to do a family show soon. I want to do a family bash.
Are you booking your pal Rab at any point?
Aye, I'm tuned.
Can I do something, Grado?
You said that in your last two shows. John, you kind of get physical. You'd get your next now.
I'll let you do backstage interviews for the DVD extras.
Jimbo says, watching the Miro versus Kingston match for All Out, the camera work was perfect when Miro had the accolade locked in. Just one camera.
By the way, so I keep cutting you off. Rab, you know how I always used to remember how you loved his entrance music when he was, what was his name again? Vladimir?
No, Rusev.
Rusev. Mate, his AEW music's amazing.
It's brilliant. There's so much good music in the AEW. It's like, where do you even fucking... All my Waynes, all my wee babies, not that, like, 1.5 years old, well, nearly two, coming up for two, I'll walk about the house going like, oh
dare
it. Second Jungle Boys music. Aye.
What do you make a wow thing? Ding, 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 ding.
It's not the version of Wild Thing I would have chosen, but I like it.
It's a guy that sings it in real life, innit?
Aye, well, there's like a few different versions of it, but I mean...
Is that the first time he used it on Sunday night?
No, he's used it before.
Because I was like, what's that? I'm going, that's fucking
I love Orange Cassidy's, where is my mind? Love that. Fucking love it, man.
I don't think it suits his character.
Oh, it does, man. That kind of slacker, laid back. It's perfect, John.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's perfect. Oh, I love Orange Cassidy's. I love Orange Cassidy, by the way. I think Orange Cassidy's fucking brilliant.
Aye.
John wants to put over, I know you're... I know you're a Cornette fan, Grado. John wants
listen,
to...
Listen, here, do you know, did I tell you see that video? I didn't know he was in the background. I was with him all day and I didn't even realise it. Who? Years later. Right, see that video, right? Remember when I met Steve Austin?
Aye.
Right. He was with me.
Who was?
Orange Cassidy, I didn't even know it. It was Andrew Dice Clay. He's like, I feel bad saying this, right? But apparently, it's like the only footage online of Orange Cassidy out of character.
Wow.
Because you know he's, you know, everywhere he's in character. Everything he does is in character. And he's with me in the background kind of laughing and all that. And it's weird to see.
Why don't we try and get him on the show? We should reach out to him and try and get him on the show, because we should. Let's see if we can, because it would be interesting to interview a guy like Orange Cassidy, how laid back he is and all that. It'd be interesting to do it. John wants to put over AEW for reminding me how enjoyable it can be to be a wrestling fan, and wants to bury the Undertaker New Day interactive Netflix thing. Sounds shite. I think it'll be fun. Stevie wants to put our CM Punk wrestling again after 7 years. Great match to boot, and wants to bury Jim Ross not knowing that the cage tag team match was a tornado tag team match and that you can't tag out. And Luke wants to put over AEW for getting me to give a shit about wrestling again. Feels like the attitude era, but without all the problematic stuff. Listen, everybody seems to agree. There's only one Tony Khan. One Tony Khan.
See, before we wrap this up, what did you, Rob, I want to know, so did you watch it live?
Yes.
Right, and
up to 5 a.m.
So did you know that Danielson and Adam Cole were debuting?
No, did the hell. Obviously, obviously, everybody suspected that Bryan Danielson was going to appear.
I thought the Adam Cole thing, I mean, he only stopped his contract the other day, did he know?
Aye, so when the show ended and the heels are in the ring and they're like, maybe he's going to stop his new.
Aye.
And then, yes, and then the lights went out. Aye. I was like, here he is.
Aye.
But and then it was Adam, and I was like, really? And I had a wee moment where I was kind of like, still cool, all right, cool. I mean, it's still cool. It's a cool surprise, but I was kind of like, really? Mm-hmm. And then when he came in and turned heel, I knew right away, I was like, are they going to fucking also bring out? Are they going to do this? And that's what I love about AEW, because sometimes you go to yourself, oh my God, are they going to do this now? And then they do it. Like, they meet your expectations. They give you what you want. It's that thing, I said it before on this, the AEW gives you what you want. WWE, they take pleasure in no giving you what you want and giving you something else, you know what I mean? Or pissing you off or confounding you.
That's, I tell you what, but the best thing, the best, I know I've said it already tonight, but the best thing about wrestling for me is being surprised and being like, oh my God!
Yeah.
And that is the first time since Drew turned up in ICW, because I never knew about it. I had whispers that he was there, but that was like, oh my God. And I can't think any other time, like really in the last 10 years, where I've felt like that, where I've went, he's actually there, look! And it just, oh, I fucking loved it.
Think of the fucking matches you could be getting in AEW now. I mean, seriously, think of the matches.
I mean, I've got my, I'm just seeing that stuff about Kevin Owens. I'm thinking Owens and Punk as well.
I mean, where do you even start?
You know?
Of Owens and Owens Punk fought out with they must have done stuff.
They would have wrestled in Ring of Honor, I would imagine. If no Ring of Honor, somewhere
not been, else. Their paths didn't cross in the WWE though, did they?
No.
Oh man. I mean, just think Omega Danielson. I mean, just some mouthwatering kind of matches on there, isn't there? Like, and Hangman Page isn't even on that card either.
Where was he on it?
He's taking time off because Mrs. is pregnant.
Aye, paternity leave, I think. But there's just so many options, you know. And there's just so many options.
But they're all over 30, mate, so it's going to be a struggle.
And now it's the part of the show where we invite you, the listeners, to do a run-in. Come on and talk wrestling, talk nonsense, talk whatever you want. We have a very special late in the day run-in here. We put a shout out on Twitter, social media network, enjoyed by many veterans of stage and screen. And we asked if anybody would like to run in, and indeed, someone has decided to run in. It is
Evil Ninja Phil.
Evil Ninja Phil
is a name I recognise very well. Phil Doyle is connecting the audio now. Using the power of Zoom to connect the audio, he will also connect his imaging device. Some call it a camera, some call it a webcam. Different things you can use.
Okay. Did I tell you who I was in Zoom the other night, Rob?
Who were you Zooming the other night?
Boy George. Hey. How you doing, mate?
Sorry.
My goodness.
Phil. Hi, Phil. Welcome to the show. It's an absolute pleasure to see you.
Pleasure to see you guys now as well. I've never used Zoom before, so this is all very new to me.
Oh, well,
you've got quite a good professional-looking setup, considering never used Zoom before.
No, we're... my work never used it. We went straight into Teams. Teams was like...
I've heard a lot of good things about Teams.
Yeah.
Now, can I just need to take a pause here, Phil, because see, before you joined us, Grado said to me, do you know who I was on Zoom with all night? Boy George.
I was.
So,
the actual Grado, Boy George.
Why were you on Zoom with Boy George?
It's funny because I was like, I wonder what he's going to come on Zoom. Is he going to come on? Is his Zoom name going to be Boy George? But no, it was George O'Dowd. So it was
never mind that, Grado. Why were you on Zoom with Boy George?
Oh, I was interviewing him. So it was because he's going to be at a festival soon. So, and he was actually wearing glasses very, very similar to Phil's. Phil Doyle's.
Wow. And was he all right?
He was brand new, man. He was wearing a hat that looked like Undertaker's.
He loves a hat. Did he have, George?
Did he have the neck stuff? Because he always kind of painted his neck black for his neckline. Did he do that?
No, he lost
as well?
A bit of weight. He lost a bit of weight. He only did that when he was a wee bit heavier. Ah. He's lost a bit of weight and he didn't do that anymore.
It's a good idea.
See,
he was going like that, but he was going like, he goes, what's all this? And what's that? What's all this? And he goes, oh, well, I'm a wrestler. He goes, oh, really? And all that? Like WWE, and I'm going, not about TNA.
Like, oh, Grado, oh, he retired, didn't he? Yeah.
Grado, me and Jen are big fans of the Real Housewives programs, right? Mm-hmm. And on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, there's a lassie called Dorit on it, right? Dorit, her name is. And her man is called PK, right? Her husband. They live in Beverly Hills in a big house. And PK, her husband, is Boy George's manager.
Wow. So I wish you knew that. Nice. I wish I knew that now.
So PK was probably involved in setting up your interview.
Well, do you know what? I've got a feeling that PK was kind of sitting next to him, right?
Because probably, was, mate, probably.
Because he was, and he was going like this. See, when I was kind of talking away, you could see he was going, oh, tell you, what are you, this guy? You know what I mean? Yeah, that way he was kind of, Boy George was kind of sitting and I'm kind of like, oh, God. Him a wee bit, and he's going, he's going, what are you, this guy? See, he's quite funny.
Did you see the guy that was sitting beside him? No.
No, but he kept looking to him and all this because I was telling him about how I've no wrestled and I've got ring rust and stuff like that, and he wanted to know me about that and just kind of.
You were interviewing him.
Yeah, I obviously I had to get myself over. You know what I mean? I had to get right at the start. Yeah.
Speaking of which, Phil, sorry, we've just been chatting amongst ourselves.
Right. Listen, like, I've not been on Zoom with Boy George. I've not been on any kind of team meetings with any celebrities until about 10 seconds ago. So I've got no stories that could compare.
No worries, Phil. How are you doing? All we want when somebody comes on this show is all we want is them to acknowledge the greatness of Tony Khan and EEW, really.
That was going to be my question.
Have you been watching the wrestling?
Yes, I watched it on Monday, the day after. I didn't watch it live, but watched it on Monday, and I was trying to work at home in the lockdown and then trying to watch AEW at the same time. So it took me a bit longer, but it was a cracking show.
Please say that you never looked at the spoilers.
I didn't know. It's the first time in a while I've not woke up and just kind of loaded up whatever news website and just kind of checked the spoilers.
I was like, brilliant feeling, wasn't it?
Yeah, like all the surprises when they rocked up. I mean, you kind of knew like the two guys at the end that, like, you know, you knew they were going to pop up because it's just been everywhere. But like when Minoru Suzuki turned up,
I was a big surprise when I was a great moment, man.
The new Japan murder granddad that starts walking down to the ring.
Yeah.
Just going to smash his son to bits. It's like, oh, God, yes, just give me that.
It was also, the beautiful thing about that moment as well was that they didn't need you know, this thing. I keep saying this. AEW gain people what they want. They didn't need the WWE thing that they would have done, whereas he walks in and stands there on the ramp and you know, and looks at Moxley. And then you're kind of like, that's all we're getting.
Points to the WrestleMania sign or whatever.
Yeah, he came in and did a bit about a fucking business. You know what I mean? He came in and gave us something for the fans on the night.
That was great.
Entertaining the fans in the room on the night. And if you did that,
like that,
you know?
That little bit, like just the two of them chatting before they started. Like, you know, Moxley with like a little kind of grin in his face. Like, oh, God, you, is it? Oh, you're right. Mm. Yeah. They have a nice little kind of chat. And then they just start battering each other. It was brilliant.
There's also something cool about like New Japan wrestlers when they come out to a North America crowd, even back in ECW when the Japanese guys would come out, and you can see they were like, they're always quite taken aback with how loud the crowd are, and you can see they're loving it. And I think he loved it the other night as well, and you can see him looking at the crowd going, this is gals.
Because you know, think there's always maybe that thing if you're a foreign talent, right, and you're coming in as a foreign talent to make an appearance somewhere, there must be, no matter how legendary you are or how legendary your status is, there must be a wee bit of you that goes, what if they don't pop, man?
They're going to pop. Well, even, you know? I'm sure Punk would have said that before he came out at Chicago. I'm sure he was still worried, like, are they still going to cheer for me? You know, they clearly work as in Chicago.
Yeah.
But you hear, like, a lot of wrestlers, they're always going, like, you know, when they're coming back, it's like, are they going to pop? Are they going to actually react to, like, when I come out?
And that was a brilliant reaction to him. That was a knowledgeable crowd, you know what I mean, really reacting to that.
Oh, yeah, it's the perfect place for him to come out somewhere like Chicago and the whole, like, probably everybody knows who he is.
Yeah.
You know, half the crowd probably got, like, a New Japan subscription or whatever. So, like, it was just, yeah, it was brilliant. Very much enjoyed that entire show.
I had to kind of, I mean, I've got that New Japan subscription. My phone, it popped up at Re-Thing we did yesterday. I never watch it. And it happens. I put it on for a couple of months and then I cancel it. And then there'll be something next week that I want to watch and I'll re-get it again.
Well, I cancelled the WWE Network during the AEW pay-per-view the other night.
Yeah.
in the middle of the AEW pay-per-view, I went, you know what? I'm not getting any of this for WWE. Fuck it. I'm cancelling.
Yeah. Although I can't remember the last time I sat through like an entire WWE pay-per-view start to finish, even like the last Rumble, even though like I tend to make time for the Rumble because that's always really fun. Mm-hmm. But because it was still without a crowd the last one, wasn't it, this year?
Like the year
before you had Edge, which was like a big surprise, which was amazing. So like, that kind of draws you back in, but it was just kind of, I'll just watch the bits I want to watch the next day. That's why I've been like the last couple of years with WWE, just kind of, I'll just watch the bits I want and then just kind of, yeah.
I keep it for the documentaries, Phil. Like this 9/11 documentary that's coming out on Friday.
That looks interesting.
That looks very interesting, man. The first public gathering after, and I'm in that 9/11 mid right now. You know that
I was scrolling through what's on Now TV, and it was like the National Geographic, and there was like 15 9/11 documentaries, one after another.
Well, mate, have you seen the President Bush one?
Is that one that's on Channel 4?
No, it's on BBC iPlayer, mate. You're gonna love it. It's great. It's basically 9/11 for the view of George Bush. You seen this, Rab John?
Because he was away to that school and all that, wasn't he?
Wrestling Daft, guess what it was called?
What?
Guess what the school was
Undertaker
called?
Undertaker High.
Close.
Mankind High.
Close. Keep going. See if we'll get it.
Savage. Matchman Randy Savage High.
Oh, yeah.
High. That.
Booker T Elementary.
No way.
Because it's a person called Booker T, isn't it?
I love that bit where Bush goes like that when the guy comes in and tells him, he's like that.
Aye.
When he's leaning in.
It's been a what?
It's been a what?
There's a what in a what?
But you, by the way, fair play to the guy, I'll tell you why, because see, for years I always thought, I can't believe he sat there and done nothing. But he would have scared the Waynes.
Aye.
He jumped up and went,
would he fucking day?
Get the drone. So it was very, very interesting. And the stuff about being on.
I need to be honest. If it was me, it was the president, and I was in there, I'd have pulled an AK-47 out of my. I would have had an AK-47 on me.
That's on the Rambo headband. Drop me in, lads. I'll sort this out right now.
Yeah, but I jumped through the window immediately. I mean, what are you supposed to do?
It was very interesting that the safest place for them was in Air Force One, and they had to get that Air Force One off the ground ASAP. Wow. And that takeoff, the premature takeoff. And right up like that, like they apparently felt weightless. And then actually, the pilot was going, hold on a minute. He goes, there could be somebody on this plane that's behind enemy lines. So don't let anybody come up to this cockpit. And that's what they've done. He says, nobody go up to the cockpit. Because the pilot's shiny sound now.
Apparently, they went on Air Force One. They all had to like shave all their pubic hair off when they were on it. Because there's like... They were worried that because you could hide bugs or you could hide like bomb devices in the pubic hair. So when they got the president on Air Force One, they all had to like get their scans to not shave all their pubes off. That was one of the first while they were taking.
Well, I hope they use Manscaped.
Ah,
speaking of Manscaped, you can get the here. By the way, I've not had any. I thought we were promoting stuff, and I've not been sent anything. Anyway, sorry, Phil. I've been drinking all day today. I'm all over the place. So, Phil, is there any messages you want to put out to the audience out there? That any important messages or any information? What is it you do yourself for a living, Phil?
My actual job is I work in insurance, in farm insurance, which is quite boring.
Did you say fire insurance?
Farm insurance.
Farm insurance. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
How does farm insurance? How does that work? Is that like people insuring their animals as well?
Yeah, tractors. Animals, land, tractors, whatever they got, the big houses they got. Whether, and they said hooses then, just to get into the Scottish.
Big money and all that, though, isn't it? Because when you think about it, that's everything. Everything is on the farm. Like the entire livelihood, everything.
See, when you're insuring a cow, are you cheaper to insure a whole load of cows?
It depends on the cow.
Right. What if it's a good pedigree in that?
Yeah.
Different cows got different prices, right?
Aberdeen Angus ones.
They have like pedigree cows that will go like their semen will sell for like £25,000 because it's like that good a cow.
Are you saying £25,000 for a bottle of spunk is what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, for one, for one.
We're in the nine game grade. Yeah. Though.
But it's like, Jesus. You know, turkey based size.
You try to say if I went out that fair in the morning, set it ripping, wanking one of the cows off and putting in a wee Tupperware bottle, I could sell that.
I mean, not down local pub, I don't think so. I mean, right. I don't know, it depends what kind of pub it is, but maybe.
£25,000. How much spunk can you get with a cow? And one, how lot. Many, I've right, never without seen being, well, I don't want to be crass, how no, much no. spunk can you get with your cow's prick with one wank?
I'm not sure. Like, I've never actually done it myself, but when we do insure a cow, we ask for like their vet certificate. So they kind of check the cow out to make sure it's healthy enough to be covered for, you know, the insurance, whatever. And they do note the scrotal circumference of the cow. So the circumference of the scrotal sac. And the biggest we ever saw was 43 inches.
43-inch fucking circumference bossack.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what that volume-wise equates to sperm, but it's got to be, like, you know, at least a pint glass.
Ian, is it true that 2% of the UK are farmers?
Yeah, something like that. I think 60% of the land in Britain is farmland, something like that, I think it is.
Wow. Have you watched the Jeremy Clarkson thing?
Oh, yeah, no. I know I've got Amazon Prime, I've borrowed someone else's account. But I think the worst statistic is like one person dies a week in the farming industry.
Why? Accident? Falling into a threshing machine?
Yeah. Arm ripped off, killed by a thing, falling out of tractor.
Fucking
anything.
Hell.
Was that a farmer? A farmer gets it. That happens quite a lot.
Like an employee or whatever. Yeah, they just. Yeah, loads of them die. It's it can be quite a dangerous business.
Jesus, man. And what's the kind of most terrific things that happens to. Like,
has anybody ever died trying to wank a cow off?
I mean,
God, wait a minute, by the way. I like how we are having all these conversations and you can't wank off a cow. Cows are female, right?
It's bull, wank up a bull.
There's a bull you need to wank at.
Yeah.
Oh.
We're all sitting here going, Grado's like, so if I wank
I'm supposed to be trained in this and I'm saying cows as well.
Yeah. I can't picture a cow.
Somebody tell these boys that a cow doesn't have a willy. Quick.
But yeah, is anybody struggling to actually imagine what a cow's willy looks like?
No.
I'm just picturing the other things.
Did you think another was just eight willies?
Imagine that.
No, I didn't. But what I'm saying is when I'm thinking
about
this. What
do you think milk is?
What? I don't know. Cows.
Is he Googling it? Oh, no.
Cattle penis.
You've got to Google a bull's penis.
That is a dark corner of the internet he's Googling right there.
God, mate, wait, you want to see the size of this big hangman? Prize bull breaks penis.
What did you search for? Prize bull's penis?
Prize bull breaks penis after over enthusiastic performance at the start of breeding season.
It can do, yeah. I've seen, what's it called? Corkscrew penis.
Well, this podcast has taken a turn.
I signed up for wrestling daft, not farming daft.
Let me see. Oh, fucking hell, you size it up. Fucking hell. I'm right doing a dark hole because I've got a fucking recipe for a bull's penis here.
I assume someone's eating one. Like, I'm asleep to get me out of here. I'm sure like parts of that has been cooked on TV or something.
Phil, I would like to thank you for lowering the tone of wrestling daft. I didn't think it could be done, actually. I thought that was...
That is a low bar as well. I feel quite pleased with myself.
Are you sure you've not been on before?
Me? Nah. I will admit I'm not a patron.
Oh. Sorry, I was getting a bit of deja vu.
Oh, I didn't see that coming, did I? Oh, God.
Nah, did the bull.
No.
Fantastic. Phil, thanks so much for coming on. Thanks. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. It's great to see another AEW and Tony Khan fan.
Yeah.
And what an interesting job as well, like farm insurance and stuff. I'd quite like to run a farm.
And it's good talking
to you. No, I'm not being hanged there. It is like genuinely an interesting gig that.
Well, I'll be doing it. But after 10 years, it's not that, like, as interesting as it probably is. But it is, yeah. You see interesting things.
And it's good that we're talking about wrestling and we're having absolutely nae beef.
Stop milking it, Grado.
Right. Quick, Phil, get out of here before any marriage.
I will just mention that I was going to segue my farm chat into, like, I do a wrestling podcast called Conquistaboles.
Please plug it.
Conquistaboles.
Conquistaboles, yeah.
Conquistaboles. I'm sure I've.
Conquistaboles.com.
I've probably seen it being tweeted about.
What's your name on Twitter?
My name, Evil Ninja Phil.
Evil.
I've been following Rab for years, I think. I have met Rab previously in the past. Very briefly.
Where did we meet?
It was one of the meetups for the old from the old Consolvania.
Old Consolvania one.
Who did you know follow me?
2013. I thought I did grade her.
I don't you, Damien.
I can't believe I had to unfollow you, so.
One of the best Twitter has to offer. Is that right?
Apparently, that's what I was told, so I had to put it in my bio. So.
Right, I'll follow you, mate.
I'll follow you back.
So everybody out there, listen to Conquistabores, particularly now that Wrestling Daft, the Marx podcast is done. We could just call it Conquistabores, our sister podcast now, since the cool. Marx is done.
I don't make any money out of it, so anything you can throw my way would be great.
Anything we can throw you money-wise?
Yeah.
Don't push it, mate.
Okay, that's fair.
Don't push it. You know where these prize cows are to get a wank to, so it's like you don't need...
I got all the addresses of all kind of crazy shit wrapped, don't you worry.
Hey, I mean, thanks so much,
that.
Phil, right?
That would cost me my job. Just to confirm, I wouldn't do that. GDPR and all that sort of stuff, of course. But, you know, just DM me, Rap, DM me.
Thanks, man. Right, speak soon.
No worries. Thanks so much. Bro.
See you later, bro.
Take care.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Bye-bye. And if you might be on the running, best bet is to sign up to our Patreon as our World Heavyweight Champs get first dibs, IC Champs get second, and Cruiserweight Champions get third. Get on patreon.com/wrestling to get yourself involved, and do get involved. Get involved.
You just made the list!
Lists are everywhere, including in the Radio Times, where you'll find that the Scots is on at 10:35 p.m. every Monday on BBC One Scotland, also on iPlayer, whole series on iPlayer. However, on this show, only one list matters, and that is the list of Wrestling Daft. You can vote for what you want us to talk about by joining us at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Our new six-time losing nomination, the best ECW champions, was like, you need to stop offering this. Nobody wants to know about ECW. What? ECW is like ancient history. It's gone.
Well, I think it's just nice to keep putting it up as an option because it's a kind of running gag now. So
best ECW champions was once again up, but however, what won was AEW's best moments so far. And with 77% of the vote, it was the best moments in AEW that won. I'm going to do my top three now. My number one.
Number three first, Rab. You're going...
Oh, sorry. My...
Number one. Number one.
My number three. I guess it's too difficult. It is Dustin and Cody Rhodes' match way back in the day.
Oh, what a shout, Rab. Forgot about that.
Let's not forget about how fucking incredible that match was.
Oh, this is so annoying. This is so annoying, but can I... Oh, my God. I can't come off this podcast and I'll put over the Big Show.
Okay.
I love that match. I love that match.
In and out, bang.
And that's why I love the pay-per-view, because it was in and out, bang.
Listen, there was a lot we never spoke about with that pay-per-view. We didn't speak about Jericho and MJF and how fucking into it the fans were and stuff like that. We didn't talk about even the women's Battle Royale thing, which was the one match where I was kind of like, oh, I don't know if this is placed right and stuff like that. And then it accelerated throughout to go to the end and suddenly, you know, you're well into it. Great stuff throughout.
One minute, see how when the Big Show match was on, were you just getting kind of fear in case the crowd were going to turn them because it was so different to what they were, no different to what they used to, but...
But this is the thing about a good pay-per-view. See, if you've got a good pay-per-view, the fans are only half asleep by the end of it.
Aye.
You know what I mean? If you had a good pay-per-view, they were up for it and they wanted Big Show to come in and leather them, and he did. Mm-hmm. And they left. Came in, leathered them, left. And it was booked exactly right. They didn't try and do a fucking half-hour thing with it, you know what I mean? Anyway, number three... Dustin and Cody, that match shall not be forgotten. Number two, just because it shows the versatility and the breadth of the kind of thing you can do in AEW, number two for me is going to have to be Chris Jericho and MJF's wine date night soiree thing where they did the big musical number. I fucking loved that. I loved that. And I thought it was just so weird and it was so odd. And it was the first time that made me go, this fucking MJF boy is something special. He's something special, this guy.
Well, he shows everybody else up as a bad guy, doesn't he?
He can do everything. But it's not just that. He can do everything, this guy. And number one, is going to have to be CM Punk's comeback that night, because that was a very special night, I think, in wrestling history that nobody will forget. But listen, anything could have went on this list. There's multiple things that could have went on this list. That beautiful tribute show that they did for Brody Lee could have went on that list easily. There's countless matches that could have went on that list. There's fucking the end of that pay-per-view the other night could have went on that list, you know what I mean?
I tell you what I loved, but just thinking about it when I think back to it, and it's a shame that there was no crowd for his debut, but seeing Matt Hardy in that video to the Young Bucks, that was superb.
You loved that, didn't you?
Oh, I loved it, mate. I loved it. And I'm just, when I think about it now, man, at the time, if there was a crowd there, that they would have went absolute nuts. So it's a wee bit sad.
But this is the thing I was saying about like the MJF and Jericho bit as well with the musical number. See, when AEW does comedy bits as well, they do it really well. Like, see, I keep thinking back to it. I remember Chris Jericho in the ring cutting that promo on that fucking drone. Was so funny as well, you know what I mean? Like,
which one? Which one?
Matt had these fucking drone floating there, and Jericho's fucking shouting at it. You know, and so much great stuff.
Little bit of the bubbly,
and a little bit. And oh, fuck's sake! I mean, you know what I mean? Which was fucking, everywhere.
Everybody, even non wrestling fans, know about that.
This promotion's only been gone for a couple of years.
This promotion's just great, isn't it? This promotion's just fucking brilliant.
Let's see what others are saying. Nice to Wrestler says the parking lot brawl with best friends and Santana Ortiz. Moxley's debut, Omega Hangman versus Bucks, Brody Lee squashing Cody for the TNT title, Punk's debut. Steven says Sting's debut at Winter is coming. Oh my God, with the fucking snow on it. Jesus Christ. In hindsight, it might seem low key, but it was clear confirmation AEW was firmly playing in the big leagues. Also, Tony Schiavone's reaction to it was legendary. Fucking Steven. Chris says. Chris says, best AEW moment by far the Brody Lee tribute episode and everything surrounding his tragic death. If nobody in the company letting slip, he was out of buying the rights for the song he used in his final package so his family would be able to watch it forever. Touching, class act. Big, like CM Punk said, it was a big reason why he came back, why he came to AEW, because they behaved like a fucking class act. Chris says, just Ray Phoenix the other night in that cage. Sam says, Hangman riding the horse into the stadium stampede. Martin, cage match all out. Derek Brody Lee destroying Cody for TNT belt. A little bit of the bubbly. The Orange Cassidy and Sting moment. Fucking that Orange Cassidy and Sting bit, man, with Sting being his wee low-key fucking chest pound.
Did I ever tell you about the time a boy up with Tappen and the Seavis and Shieldsy came to my door? I think I probably...
You're tying this into Sting versus Orange Cassidy.
No, right, I swear to God, this might be about 2 years ago, man. And I was up to tap in. He didn't come at my door, right? I was up visiting my dad and he was walking along. And he was like, Grado, mate. He was like, God, this is a big favour. He was like, God, this is a big favour, mate. Can you get me Sting's autograph? I was like, aye, mate. I goes, aye, mate. Just, I'll try and work something out, mate. I goes, don't know next time we're over in America. But I'll try, mate. He's going, that'd be great, mate. You know, he's always my favourite, man. Just, if you could, mate.
I think that's so sweet, innit?
Isn't it? Brilliant.
He's the guy who can get me Sting's autograph after all these years. Daniel says, best AEW moment, Moxley's debut. Proper felt that AEW could attract big names. The pop was huge. Although I'm saying, and the pop was huge, but John has written here for me, and the poo was huge.
I've copied and pasted that, so that's Daniel's typo, not
Daniel, mine. You've written here, and the poo was huge. There's been bigger since, but that was the first. That was the first big poo. Phil says, I think every media scrum with Tony Khan after the pay-per-views because it really shows what an intelligent, enthusiastic and handsome person he is. Beautiful and side and out. There's only one Tony Khan. There fucking is only one Tony Khan. Woo! Now, there's loads of more content at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Bonus episodes, extra content, get involved with our community, videos of the podcast. I mean, you want to see our beautiful faces. Best way to get involved, sign up in one of your tiers, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, and you can be a supporter of the show. And you need to be a supporter of this show because there's going to be amazing benefits coming up soon. We're going to start doing live stuff. There's benefits coming, let me tell you that. You might keep this show going because I'll tell you something else. It's fucking brilliant. Sign up now at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft as we would love to welcome you to the roster. Get ready to jump in our virtual car as we take you on a journey of debauchery. Two wrestlers on the way back for a show, both trying to pop each other. Let's get in the car and see what happens. Some match tonight, Grado, eh?
What?
Some match tonight, wasn't it? Tell you something, the hell of a poo when you walked it. You know, the other week it was my 20th birthday, mate.
I know, mate.
And me, my pals, my bird, and her pals, even though I would never call a woman my bird because I've got respect. And our pals went a night out to celebrate my birthday, my 20th birthday. We're about 20 odd days all mixed together. The only thing was that my pals and my bird's pals, even though I would never call them a bird, they'd never really met. No, one of my pals, let's call him Callum. He loves that wrestler Grado, right? And especially his Graham for the Isle of Man story. And it just so happened that one of my bird's pal's boyfriends is also called Graham. So my bird's pal was really confused why Callum kept saying her boyfriend's name in a weird voice, proclaiming it was for a piece of land between England and Ireland. How does that go again, Grado? Just remind me.
Graham, I've got a friend from the Isle of Man called Graham.
Despite this, this wasn't the most embarrassing thing I did that night, but a backstory. Our boy Callum is also known for his ability to consensually pull lassies on a night out. We have fucking minute here. His ability to consensually pull lassies.
This is just funny the way the world is now, isn't it? That we need.
Just getting that in there. I would just like to clarify that when I'm saying my mate is good at pulling lassies, what I mean is consensually pulling them.
That's absurd.
So my birthday was his perfect chance to find his next victim. Oh, it does say victim there. This is fucking all over the place. Back in the clubbing days, his tactics were weird, but somehow always successful. Now, this night was going well. The shots were going good, the music was blasting. Callum had found his way out of one of my girlfriend's pals. They hit it off. You know, consensually hit it off, I assume. They were laughing and giggling, and the next thing I knew, they were gaffing, smooching, and snogging the faces off one another. Now, this didn't come as any surprise to me or anybody who knows Callum. As the night progressed, Callum thought he'd have a couple of shots of absinthe upon the many other drinks he'd had. This is where Callum's night turned. As they were chatting, Callum began to feel something at the back of his throat. And as he was speaking, he spewed right out of the lassie's arm and oil the flare. And when she confronted him with this, saying, "Did you just spew on me?" Callum tried to deny it, replying, "No," as if her arm wasn't ringing and covered in chunks. Luckily for her, the place was just about to shut, so she got up the road, sharpish. However, Callum knew how to make his way home in what can only be described as the dodgiest of taxis. Upon entering, the driver put the child lock on and was swerving all over the road, running red lights. With the only time he slowed down, this driver, was to snort cocaine. He was saying to Callum, "If we get stopped, I'm not a taxi driver. I'm your pal, right?" The driver kept proclaiming he only accepted cash and charged her boy £40 at his destination. Absinthe didn't only take out Callum, but also me, however. I actually made it to the toilet, only this time I didn't shite up the walls or over my grandest cream carpet. It was a night of being sick all round. Speak soon. Your friend, Billy Gaddy. And that,
the legend that is Billy Gaddy, man.
And that is it for Wrestling Daft. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple or get us wherever you get your podcasts. Mind for more content, there's loads this week. Video version of the show, or that shite getting patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. And why not check out our merch at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. And all, what a great week it's been. Who is our listener of the week?
I think Roscoe should get it for his points on AEW that he missed.
That's a wee shame for a minute, man.
Let's keep sorry Roscoe for him, because man. He's worried. And just don't worry, just enjoy it. Well, the times are good. Enjoy it. Be in the moment, live in the moment, and strap that belt around your waist. Boys, it's been an absolute pleasure today this week. Remind everybody to please do watch the Scots. See if you can count any wrestling references in there. Guaranteed.
I noticed.
Oh, is there Easter eggs? Is there?
Right, off the top of my head, there's two that I can remember.
Yep. And of course, remember that one of the British scene's favourite wrestlers, Jack Jester, is in the show. So check that out. The Scots on BBC iPlayer. Remember to check out Bowie at Breakfast. Remember to check out Go Radio in the Mornings with Grado and Crofty. If indeed you know what a Crofty is. We'll see you next time on Wrestling Daft. Up the road, Grado.
It's your sound. Audio Frontier.